So what I mean by that is some common friends we have said to us, as you might have heard, bet on yourself, Stacey. It's time to bet on yourself. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Hello, you are listening to the Late Bloomer Living Podcast. I'm Yvonne Marchese, your host, and I'm so happy you're here. I created this podcast to give you inspiration and let you know you're not alone in feeling stuck in midlife. I also invite you to join the Age Agitators Club for Women, where we come together monthly to hatch our plans for making waves as we age. Being part of this community for women will remind you on a regular basis that you're not too old, and it's never too late to do that thing you've been thinking about. You can find more information at latebloomerliving.com/community, and I hope to see you there. Hello, my friend. I am so excited to have today's guest on. Her name is Stacey Sherman. She is a renowned professional speaker and customer experience expert who specializes in strengthening loyal relationships between individuals and companies. She is somebody who has left corporate recently and gone out on her own. And we are going to be talking about that today. But one of the reasons I'm so excited to have her on is that we really know each other by our voices more than anything. And I mean, as a listener, you're just sitting here listening to our voices as well. But what's really trippy for me at the moment is I'm on a Zoom call with Stacey and I can actually see her face for the first time. It's crazy. So I do want to give a shout out to Mark Ronick of Empowered Podcasting. Stacey and I met in a clubhouse room that happens Monday through Friday. Religiously, Mark is there hosting this community of podcasters. And when Stacey heard about what I was doing with my podcast, and I heard what was kind of a little bit of her backstory with how she left corporate as an empty nester and decided to go out on her own, and what she's been doing to rock and roll the whole experience, I was like, Stacey, you need to come on the podcast. We need to talk about this whole journey that you've had. So I'm so excited to have you here. Hi, Stacey. Thanks for being here. Is there anything I missed? What, I don't think I said the name of your company. It's Doing CX Right, correct?
Yes. So CX means customer experience. And I believe that we have it in our control as company leaders and as employees to have better experiences. And there's a right way to do it. And it's, so it's a very intentional design of that. So I've made that my livelihood, and really podcasting and writing books and speaking about that, which is all from the past 25 years in corporate life.
What were you doing in corporate life? Was it all about customer experience and designing that for the corporation you were working for on the back end and making sure things were seamless for the customer journey? Is that, am I on target at all with what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. There were different flavors of it. I started in sales and marketing and fell into CX, customer experience, and it became such a big thing, even though customer service has been around forever, but customer service is only one part of the journey that people go through. When you think of customer experience, it's in totality and these micro moments of how, when you think about going to the supermarket, you become aware of certain products available or the store and how you learn and buy and get and use and pay and get help when you need it. And so all of that together is what creates an experience that the best in class companies design intentionally with the best practices.
Gotcha. And so you decided to start a podcast about the CX, about that whole experience and how, I mean, you interview people who are business owners and you talk about this whole thing, right? This is like a passion for you.
It is. It's not a job. It is absolutely a passion. And I want to add on the fact that when you talk about customer experience, you have to realize there is no customer unless you have an employee, a workforce experience. So it's both sides of the coin. And And it's not always just employees. It could be your contractors. It could be your virtual assistants. It could be your interns. Think of, you know, your workforce, your work staff, and how engaged and committed they are and how valued they are to deliver that customer experience. I mean, your internal team is also your customer.
I love it. Okay, so I want to talk about the nitty-gritty of what happened with your transition from corporate to going out on your own. What was the pain point? I'm gonna guess here that there was a pain point that happened that pushed you into doing something, or was it just excitement for going out on your own?
Well, gosh, where do I begin? All right. Truth be told, that corporate left me. So I had a meeting with my boss, as we do every week. And there was a board meeting that happened before that, and they decided to make cuts at the top. And therefore, I was affected very unexpectedly. So I was grieving after that happened because it was a very fast cut, and I didn't even get to say goodbye to anybody. And that's just the way corporate works.
I've been there. Yeah.
So I was grieving of loss. I was grieving that my team wasn't my team anymore. I was grieving that, oh my God, what am I going to do next? Because I've only known corporate. And I was also really hard on myself because I said, well, what am I grieving? Nobody died. And I wasn't fully understanding that grieving is not always about death. It's loss of anything.
Yeah.
So that's the truth. And it took me several months to figure out what do I want to do next? Because I've only been in corporate. And so I was like, don't press the corporate button yet. Hold your hand back. Don't submit your resume yet. Take a pause, which I've never done. So that was a learning pain point. But here's the beauty of this. The beauty is that if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be sitting here today telling you that I got to try all these new things as blue sky over the past year that would never have happened. And they were such growth opportunities personally and professionally.
Incredible, right? When I have found, I've been laid off 2 times, and both times were immense times of growth for me. I became a photographer after one of those layoffs. And after the second layoff, I actually ended up being able to go full time as a photographer, which I had been like on the fence of doing for a couple of years. Didn't know if I was ready to do it. It was like, oh, I think maybe I could, but I don't know. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're the little bird pushed out of the nest. And it's like, fly, little bird. You know, and that's incredible. I love that you hit the pause button and didn't go right out and try to fix the problem. I'm going to put in quotes, but that you gave yourself time. How long did you hit that pause button for, and what did you do during the pause?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I say I paused because I didn't. Nothing but work my butt off to build a business. So pause just means I didn't go back to corporate.
Okay.
All right. So, but that was still big because I only knew and grew up in the corporate world. And I do want to say, as I answer your question, that my best advice to anyone listening is thank goodness that in 2016, while I was working at Verizon at the time in a corporate headquarter role, I started a blog and I had no idea if anyone would ever read it. And they did. And then I became, that took me to the next level of being guests on 50 podcasts. And that led me then to hosting my own show. That led me to 120 shows with an award and et cetera, et cetera. I did that all while I was working full time. And I want people to realize that start your passion projects before you know that you need it or want it.
Yes.
That's how I came out really good because I had a brand by my name because I did all that stuff beforehand.
That is such a great point, and it just speaks to the whole idea of dipping your toes in the water of what you want to do and taking the baby steps towards it and then seeing where that leads you. I know that at some point, somewhere in the mix here, there is an empty nester story going on at the same time. Am I on target there?
Yes. And then I'll get to what I've done the past year. So here's the other miracle of life. When my job ended, it also was the exact same time frame that I wrote the last bill check for my daughter's college. So I have two kids, young adults, and I wrote the last check for her school. So it's amazing that the timing of this, it's almost like I got a bonus because now I don't pay anymore for college
Right.
when my salary disappeared for the first time ever. So it's kind of miraculous how life delivers in strange ways. And then yes, both my kids ended up fleeing the nest. And who knows what'll happen over time because they're new in their work worlds. But yeah, timing, fascinating.
Really, truly. And can I ask you, this is a personal question, but you talked about, giving yourself a hard time for grieving over the loss of the job, the loss of those relationships with your team members. Did you have any grief going on with the empty nest syndrome at the same time?
Yes, I think it was so mishmashed together
Yeah.
that I couldn't even understand it.
Hmm.
And I honestly was going through a professional identity crisis. And my profession was so important to me, especially because I carried the benefits for my family forever. And all these other things that I've been in the forefront for our family. So I was really forced and chose to continue to sit with the pain points, as you said, and figure out what next despite the uncomfortable. And here's the thing. So just as I'm mentioning that I started all these passion projects before I knew I needed them, and they gave me the confidence to proceed forward. That was also this past year. So what I mean by that is some common friends we have said to us, as you might have heard, bet on yourself, Stacey. It's time to bet on yourself. And I'm like, what does that mean? And I kept repeating that. And so things came to me last year over the year and still to this day where it was unexpected. Such as right when I lost my job, LinkedIn contacted me and said, "We would love if you created a course for our LinkedIn learning programs catalogs." And I'm like, "Wow, okay. I've never been a teacher. I've done workshops for people, but okay, let's do this." So wrote the course and filmed
Oh,
in December and it just launched. Same
amazing.
same
Can I
thing with a book
back you up and
publisher.
ask a question? Okay. Oh, a book. Okay. So hang on. So LinkedIn approaches you, and this is, were you super active on LinkedIn, and that's why you came to their notice? Was your blog somehow tied into your LinkedIn profile? Like, draw the connection to me for me there.
All the above.
Okay.
So I was referred, and then they examined everything about my profile and what I write about. And then they said, let's talk.
Wow.
And that's really what happened. Again, I was not exposing, I was grieving. It didn't look like that on the outside. And that's why we know social media is only half truth. It was my truth, and I was authentic about what I wrote and what I was going through somewhat. So yes, and they asked me again now to do another course this year. So,
Congratulations. That's incredible. You just got done with the first one and it's just out in the world barely, right? That's amazing. That's amazing. You must have wowed them. And then tell me, so then a book publisher gets in touch with you too? Seriously?
yeah, seriously, a book
Amazing.
publisher. So I'm writing every day this book that will launch later in this year, and it'll be a big deal. And again, I've never written a book other than been a co-author writing chapters for other people's books. So this fell out of the sky because I showed up and I just did what I love, which is peer-to-peer education. And then people notice.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh, the whole thing's amazing. You know, too, I have to say, I'm thinking about myself and my coming empty nest that, you know, we're not empty nesters yet. I had kids later in life. So I still have a almost 17-year-old at home with one more year left of high school. And I have one in college. But I'm so grateful when I think about having started the podcast. I'm 3.5 years into producing this podcast, which has completely changed my life. It's completely changed what I think I'm capable of. And I look at, you know, the empty nest that's coming up, and I think maybe it won't feel quite as empty because I've found something that I love to do as much as I love doing what we're doing right now. And hopefully that'll help maybe with the empty nest when they leave things. Do
So
you feel like that helped you through the process?
I would never have met the people that I have met who've come on my show if I didn't have my podcast. I would never have met them ever in my life. And it becomes a game because I've had like Daniel Pink is an amazing author, and I've had the others like him, these big time authors who get so much money to go on stage for 30 minutes, right? So these people, once you get these caliber of people who I aspire to be and will be, it's like a game. Like, okay, I got that one. All right, I'm gonna go get another one and another one, another one. And then they say yes, and you're like, I am doing something right. Like, it fuels us. As far as being a mother, I absolutely believe that the content creation and the things we do and the passion projects we do make me a better parent because it just feeds my, it feeds me, and it helps me know when to step in and when to step out of our children's lives because they're not children. They're not adults, but they're not children.
Right. Oof. That is a tricky business, isn't it? Knowing when to hang back and when to, you know, I guess you at a certain point you have to be invited in to help with a problem, right?
Yes, and here's the truth about life, absolutely about kids fleeing the nest, but everything, truthfully, anticipation is far worse than the actual event,
That is so
always.
true. That is so true. I love that you said that. Okay, so I have to tell you, I listened to episode 50 of your podcast, which was your episode with your mom, Eileen, right?
Yes.
And I'm thinking about you talking on the bet on yourself aspect of that. Can you just talk about that a little bit and that heritage that you really goes back even to your grandmother, right? I would love to know
Absolutely.
more, a little bit more about that.
Oh, thank you, because it's one of my favorite stories and favorite episodes. So, my grandmother was an accountant, a certified accountant. Think about that's a long time ago
In
when
the
there was no women.
1950s, is that right?
And she was a certified accountant, and my grandfather stayed home to let her go to get her degree, which is again unheard of. He was an accountant, she was an accountant, and then fast forward time, all four of her their daughters, including my mom's the oldest, became certified accountants. So it was very
Wow.
unusual. They were usually stay at home or nurses, etc. Fast forward again, my mom ended up leaving accounting, but she definitely was among the first as well. And she decided, had a lot of different jobs, and she decided to be among the first women on Wall Street. And I remember being a little kid going to the New York, the American Stock Exchange, and my mother was among the few women there. There was like maybe one bathroom while there were like, you know, a row of men's bathrooms. And the men would pick her up because she's petite like I am and doing the hand signals. And she had to take voice lessons to sell.
That was
like
one of
man.
My favorite parts of the episode was her going, so I had to take voice lessons. And then she goes into this, like she had to learn how to yell so they could hear her, right?
Yes.
What else did she say that tickled me? She was talking about how short she is and how they had to hold her up. And she's like, I'm 4'9" and what, 3/4? And the 3/4 is very important.
Important. Absolutely. Yes. And so what I learned is I grew up with a mom who was a change agent, and she did go against gravity, and she had such belief in herself to say she could do anything at a time that other people didn't take chances because it wasn't society's norms. And I learned a lot about resilience and going for what you want and betting on yourself from my mom.
Amazing. It's so great that you have had those examples in front of you your whole life. What would you recommend? Let's say somebody didn't have that kind of a great example in their life. What would you recommend for somebody to bet on themselves at this point in their lives?
I
What do you
would
tap
say,
into?
yeah, I would say to definitely pause and ask people, think about what do people come to you for? What is the advice that people come to you about? Because you're probably really good at that thing. So many people say to me, Stacey, I don't know what my passion is. I have no clue. And that's the question I ask them. And then they start talking. And it could be about, I'm the best cook. I'm the best, most organized person and love helping people get organized. Think about that question and realize that you can create this flywheel around that as a speaker, as a podcaster, as a business, just around that one idea that you love. It's in you.
I love it. You know, so often I always like to think of it as that superpower. It's that thing that comes so easily to you that you can't imagine that it's valuable to anybody else because it's so easy for you. And you think it must be easy for everybody, but guess what? It isn't. I love the idea of asking other people or starting to notice what people are constantly coming to you for, asking you about. And two, you don't have to turn it into a business, but it could be something that you latch on to do a passion project. It could be something that you lean into for volunteer work, just something that fills your time and your days with doing something that you love.
Yes. And the caution is, I didn't know differently because I always had a boss and I always had to live within politics. And I was a box on an org chart. So I always knew I was exploding with these ideas that I wanted to do, but I was limited. In fact, I did not get promotions because of it.
Oh, yeah, I bet. And tell me a little, I'm imagining a whole scenario though, but tell me a little bit about that.
So it makes no sense because there are many, I'd say mostly men, but there's certainly women too, of who have these passion projects, and you do them on, I did them on the nights and weekends, just like men and anyone would go play golf.
Right.
And
yep.
that was okay. But it wasn't okay by me having my voice It was just questioned. What's my motive? What's my, why? And I would say why. I'd say because this is what I love to do. And guess what? If I have a brand as a person who's very authentic and trusting, it's only going to reflect well on the company as your employee. And I'm never going to give away trade secrets ever, right? So it was really tough. And I'll tell you something that I hope no one ever does what I did. And what I did was there was an occasion that I was willing to sell my soul. And I said to my boss, I'm willing to give up my podcast. I'm willing to give up my blog. I'm willing to give these things up because I want you to believe in me that I'm here and I'm committed. And I just look back and say, oh my gosh, Stacey, how could you do that? You're just in the wrong room. Like, I was committed.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Wow. And did you end up going so far as to give up the blog and the podcast for a little bit of time, or did that not happen?
It did not happen because my boss said that he would never ask me to do that. But I was so angry and kind of feeling desperate because I wanted him to trust me so much that I said that and was really willing to. But now I reflect back and say, do not sell your soul to anybody. Don't give up what you love because that's just not smart. So didn't end up doing it, but I did not get the promotion.
Oh, there you go. But look at you now. You're out and you're if you were the baby bird kicked out of the nest, then you are absolutely soaring right now.
I am soaring, yet people need to know that I'm still healing from loss and figuring out there's so much I don't know that I don't know. And I bump into it every day, and I have really great days, and I have other days that say I'm not doing enough. And that's negative talk, and I have to tame that. And so it's just natural.
Yeah. So I love that you're talking about this struggle that is not apparent to outside people that are looking. It's not something that you advertise or talk about as part of what you're doing, because so I talk about my struggle a lot because it is what it's the essence of what I'm talking about with late bloomer living. So I'm a much more open book about where I struggle. But when you're doing something like you are, that is like a business to business experience and all that, there's a certain amount you do need a little bit of protection between what's going on and whatever insecurities could be there for you. That needs to, you got to present yourself in a certain way. And I just think that it's so important for people to think about that and know that, because as you said, social media and all that are only half truths. And so we look at somebody else's social media or all the things that they're doing and accomplishing, and we just see that right package of amazingness. And underneath it all, every single person that I have ever spoken to on this podcast, regardless of how incredible they look, because of all the things that they've done, they all are struggling in some way, shape, or form. And so I appreciate
Yes.
you coming on to talk about it today.
Yes, thank you. And it's funny you talked about pain points because literally that is my job. My job is removing the pain points for the workers and the employees and customers as we all are. Removing the frustration, removing the dissatisfaction in the experiences we have. I've made that my livelihood in humanizing business. And so, yes, I am an open book. At the same time, I think that people don't realize how much as leaders, and you don't need leader in your job title to be one, that it's in our control to just make it easier and more rewarding in our different experiences with the different hats we wear.
Love that. So you've got your LinkedIn course, a new one on the way, a book
Yeah.
on the way. What is the best way for people to kind of get in touch with you or learn more about you right now?
Yes. So if anybody is looking to, I do a lot of advising and coaching to company leaders and managers about all the different things we're talking about in customer experience as your brand differentiator. So on my website, doingcxright.com. And on there, you'll see a lot of free content, my blog articles, very rich of how-to tips, my podcasts. And then I'm doing a lot of speaking on stages, keynotes, and leading workshops at events. And funny enough, I also fell into mentoring and coaching people who just lost their job because they say, "Well, Stacey, you've done so well. How'd you do it?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you my formula. Let me help you."
Yeah.
So,
Wow. Wow. A
yeah.
whole other arm of what you're doing. That's so great. Well, you're
Yeah.
really inspiring me. I mean, I've just watched you in I'm not sure how long we've been in that clubhouse room together of Mark Ronick's, but I have watched you kind of, I'll say, bloom while you've been in there. And I always love that you come with questions and you come with to share your own experience and your own knowledge really generously when you're in the room and when you're in the space. And but you do it in a way that has a humility to it that is like you said, you don't know what you don't know. And that you're always willing to take in information, and share information. So thanks for being an amazing community member. I love sharing space with you.
Thank you. And for the women listening to your show, there is a LinkedIn group that it's a community, it's free, and it's called Women Leaders Making a Difference. And so if you go into that, it's in groups,
Okay.
and it's just about talking about favorite topics that are geared towards women empowerment. There's no male bashing, there's no selling, and it's just continuing that authentic dialogue. It's truly just a hobby for me, but I get such joy, like we do with podcasting, of just that community of what works, what questions people have. So I'll share that as well, besides my Doing CX Right website.
Very cool. Is that a group that you started, or is it a group that you participate in that you're talking about it because you got a lot out of it?
I started it, I host it, and I approve every single post and person who comes into it. It is not advertised to keep the authenticity. And the funny thing about LinkedIn is they keep sending me these messages to open it up. I can get 10 times the number of members. There's 2,500 members right now. I can get, 10 times that if I open it up and not approve each one. And I'm like, I don't want that. Quality over quantity.
Yeah, I feel the same way about, I've got the Age Agitators Club, and I am very happy with it growing slowly and getting the right mix of people in there. I can't imagine if I had thousands of people in that group, you wouldn't be able to have the one-on-one interactions that we currently do. So I love that you're doing it in such a selective way. That's important.
Again, that's just something I did out of the blue. Started with one person in this little group. I had no real understanding my why. It's good to know your why, Simon Sinek style, but I just started it, and here it's 2,500. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but it's just authentically growing. And so that's where anybody can just start something and figure it out as you go along.
That's very cool. Is there a link that I can include in the show notes for that as well?
Absolutely,
Awesome.
yes.
So I will have a link to all the things. Let's just say that. I'll have a link to all the things so people can come check out Stacey Sherman
Thank you.
and learn more about you. Thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. I love talking to Stacey. She's got so much good energy. My main takeaway from this conversation with Stacey is bet on yourself. Bet on yourself. What more can I say other than that, my friend? It's my challenge to you somehow, some way, today, this week. You get an idea and you start to hold yourself back. My challenge to you is to say, hey, why not? Maybe it's time to bet on myself. Speaking of which, I did a little something like that when I wrote my book, In Full Bloom, A Guide to Aging Playfully. It was something I never thought about doing until I did think about doing it, until I got the idea. And then it kind of just took on a life of its own. And now I can point back and go, I wrote a damn book. And I still have to pinch myself when I say that. If you don't have a copy of the book, I hope you'll go get one. It's available on Amazon. If you do have a copy of the book and you've enjoyed it, please go leave me a review on Amazon. It'll help more people find the book. Once a certain number of reviews get out on Amazon, they start putting it in front of more people. So if you could help me with that, that would be awesome. And in the meantime, just thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great week. Stay safe and well. Talk soon.